ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मन्ये मन्ये दनाभिजन रूप तपाशुतोज, तेज प्रभाव बल पौरुष बुद्धि योगः, नाराधनाय हि भवन्ति परस्य पुंसो, भक्त्या तु तोष भगवान् गजयूत पाय। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। प्रहलाद महाराज कंटिन्यूड, वन मे पजेस वेल्थ, एन एरिस्टोक्रेटिक फैमिली, ब्यूटी, ऑस्टेरिटी, एजुकेशन, सेंसरी एक्सपर्टीज, लस्टर, इन्फ्लुएंस, फिजिकल स्ट्रेंथ, डेलिजेंस, इंटेलिजेंस एंड मिस्टिक योगिक पावर्स, बट आई थिंक दैट इवन बाय ऑल दीज क्वालिफिकेशंस वन कैनॉट सेटिस्फाई द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड। हाउएवर वन कैन सेटिस्फाई द लॉर्ड सिंपली बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस। गजेंद्र डिड दिस एंड दस द लॉर्ड वॉज सेटिस्फाइड विद हिम। पर्पट, नो काइंड ऑफ मेटीरियल क्वालिफिकेशन इज द मीन्स फॉर सेटिस्फाइंग द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड। As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktya mam abhijananti. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritah. This is a verdict of all shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualifications can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. First of all, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, particularly His Grace Gyan Gamya Prabhu. So in this verse, this is the second prayer of Prahlad Maharaj to Shri Narasingdev. And here he glorifies the process of bhakti. We may think that there are different means by which we can achieve the Supreme Lord, but here he is saying that only by the process of devotional service, not by the other material opulences, can we achieve Him. So we'll briefly see what are the various examples, how we can know that there were people, personalities who possessed or did not possess these things, and what was their fate. And also how, if these things happen in our lives, what course we can take, and some examples from the histories. An example of riches, dhan, like it is said that when Lord Krishna went as a peace messenger to Hastinapur before the Mahabharata war, Duryodhan was very rich and he was inviting Krishna to stay with him and lunch. But Krishna wasn't pleased to go. Instead, he went to the house of poor Vidura because Vidura and his wife were more devoted to him. We have example of Sudama, who was so poor, but still Krishna bestowed his love towards him. Then we have example of Lakshmi ji. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya is conversing with Venkat Bhat in Srirangam. So he asked that why Lakshmi ji wasn't able to enter into rasa dance, although she is the consort of Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. That was because she did not give up the mood of opulence and did not accept the mood of gopis, the humble position. Then we come to the family. So it does not require that person has to be born in a great family. Here itself Prahlad Maharaj is saying that he is born in the family of Asuras. And later on we read about Virochan, Bali. They were also born in family of Asuras. And previous cantos we hear about Vritrasur. He was a full-fledged demon, in fact, attacking Lord the demigods. But his prayers are glorified in the pages of Bhagavatam. Leave aside human species, even people, devotees born in lower species, like here they have mentioned about Gajendra. He was an elephant, but when he was in danger being attacked by a crocodile, in the last moment he surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna came and delivered him. We have example of Jatayu, who was even the lower species of animals, a vulture. But by service to Lord Ram, by trying to protect Mother Sita and fighting against Raman, Lord Ram personally did his final rites, which is the honor fit to be given to one's father. We have examples of Jambavan, a bear, and also Hanumanji and other monkey soldiers who were delivered. Then even rupee is not needed. We have example of Kubja. She was a hunchbacked, ugly woman. But just because she was so attracted to Krishna and with love she offered Chandan paste to him, Krishna did the first surgery and delivered it, made her perfectly beautiful. We also see even austerities are not very helpful. Sometimes people do austerities and become proud, like Hiranyakashipu. And even Lakshmiji, she performed a lot of austerities to enter into rasa dance, but she could not enter. The knowledge itself is not very useful. We have a very beautiful example of Romharshan Sut. It is said that he was very learned. It is described in Bhagavatam, Rishayar Bhagavato Bhutva Shishya Dhitya Bahunicha Etihas Puranani Dharma Shastra Sarvasha Adhantasya Avinitasya Vritha Pandita Manina Nagunaya Bhavantisma Natyasya Vajitatmana. He said that his Rishayar Bhagavato Bhutva Shishya Dhitya Bahunicha, that he was the disciple of Vedvyas himself, who is the person who compiled all the Vedic literature. Not only this, he was also well-versed. It is said, Itihas Purani Dharma Shastra Sarvasha. He was well-versed in all the scriptures. Still, what was his disqualification? Adantasya Avinitasya. He wasn't self-controlled and wasn't humble. And Vritha Pandita Manina. Uselessly, he was considering himself to be a great Pandit scholar. Na Gunaya Bhavantishma Natasya Vajitatmana. All his learning was like the role of an actor, just because he could not control his mind. So in the end, because he offended Lord Balaramji, he was killed by him rather than pleasing him. Then we have examples of the wives of Brahmans, Yajnapatnis. So these Brahmans were very learned and they lived in Gokul, Vrindavan. But when Krishna sent the cowherd boys to request them to grant some food preparations for Krishna's pleasure, they were so busy in their yajnas that they did not even want to offer anything. But the yajna patnis, they were very simple ladies. But just because they were very attracted to Krishna by hearing about him, so they immediately went and offered everything. And these ladies were not learned, but simply had devotion towards Krishna. Another example of a simplicity and not great learning comes in Lord Chaitanya's travel, when he goes to South India and meets a Brahmin who is not learned. But because his guru has asked him to recite Bhagavad Gita, he does so even if the pronunciation is very poor. So it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Lila, 9th chapter. Saikshete rahe ka Vaishnava Brahman Devalaya Asikare Gita Vartan. So they are describing that in Srirangam, one Brahman stayed and he would daily recite Gita. Ashtadashadhyaya pade ananda aveshe ashudh pade naloka kare upahase. Daily he would recite 18 chapters. But his pronunciation was very poor. His grammar and reading was very poor. And everybody would make fun of him. Kehe hase kehe ninde taha nahi mane avishthan gita pade anandit mane. He did not care if anybody laughed at him or anybody criticized him. But simply, full of ecstasy, he was reading Gita. And he was getting all the ecstatic symptoms. So Lord Chaitanya asked, Mahaprabhu puchila tane suno mahashaye kon arth jani tomar etha sukh hai. Mahaprabhu is asking that you cannot pronounce Gita properly. So what is there, what joy you are getting that makes you so happy? Viprakahe murkhami shabdartha na jani shuddha shuddha Gita padi guru agyamani. So the Brahman devotee says that I am a very foolish person. I cannot even read Gita properly. And I don't even know the meanings. But my Guru Maharaja said that's why I am reading it. And he says that I can see that Arjuna is standing on that. Actually, I see only Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hand, he appears very beautiful and blackish. And while seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read Bhagavad Gita, I can only see the beauty of Lord Krishna. It is for this reason that I am reading Gita and my mind cannot be distracted from this. So normally when we read Prabhupada's books and other books, especially myself, I go to sleep. But this guy is not even able to read properly, but he is directly getting transcendental vision. Krishna is appearing before him just because he is following the order of spiritual master. So Mahaprabhu becomes very pleased and he says, Prabhu kahe Gita pade tomar adhikar, tumi se jana hai Gita artha sar. So Mahaprabhu is saying that you are the person who have the right to read Gita, and whatever you know constitutes the real purpose of Gita. So then Lord Chaitanya is so pleased that he reveals his form as Krishna to him. So here we see that again a person may not be very well educated in terms of knowledge, but just because he has quality of humility and to please Krishna, he is accepted as a devotee. Then we come to tej or bodily luster. So it is described in fourth canto when Daksha appears in the sacrificial arena. It is said he is so effulgent. He said, Tatra pavrishtam rishayah drishtva arkamiva rochisha brajamanam vitimiram kurvantam tanmahat sada. He is saying when Daksha entered into that assembly where that sacrifice was being performed, his body was so effulgent, arkamiva, it was like sun, so brilliant, and everybody got up except Brahma and Shiva. And although everybody got up except these two personalities, he became very angry on Shiva and that led to his fall down. In terms of strength, we also have case of Banasur. He had 1,000 arms and would play drums for Lord Shiva while doing dance. And with his arms, he was so powerful, he could actually stop the flow of rivers. But ultimately, he became enemy of Krishna and was defeated. Example of Buddhi is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. It is said he's incarnation of Brihaspati. He was the topmost learned Pandit during his times, during the times of Lord Chaitanya. And for 7 days he preached to Lord Chaitanya about Vedanta, conclusions of Vedanta, but they're all Mayavadi mixed. So then Lord Chaitanya delivered him. Very beautiful narration is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the end, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, when he realizes all the conclusions and that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, he confesses what was his mentality before in a very beautiful way. He says, Tarkir Shrigala Sange Bhiu Bhiu Kare Sai Mukhe Ebe Sada Kahe Krishna Hari. Like he said, the Tarkik, the people who are logicians, in their company he was like a dog or like a CR, jackal. And he would say, Bhiu Bhiu, there was a particular musical song they create, especially in the night. And but now with the same mouth, he is now chanting Krishna's name. Even Lord Brahma, when he tries to understand Krishna's position by his four-headed intelligence, but he is bewildered when he kidnaps all the cowherd boys and the calves. But again, Krishna creates them with his own potency. So he is totally bewildered and lost. Then he comes to Krishna and offers beautiful prayer, which says that even Gyan Marg is not proper. Jnane prayasamudipasya namanti eva jivanti sanmukharitam tanubhavadiya vartaha sthane sthita shudigatam tanuvan manorbhir ye prayase ajito jito piyasite strilokyam. He says that jnane prayase udipasya namanti eva, that leave aside your process of acquiring knowledge but just surrender, namanti, offer obeisances. Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya varta. And the best process is to simply hear from the lotus mouth of the saints about your varta, your Krishna katha. Sthane sita shruti katha. And just sit at one place means remain in whatever ashram you are, brahmachari, grass or whatever. And simply hear the message of Krishna and surrender by tanuvan manorbhir, by body, mind and words. And by this effort, Prabhupada says in one lecture, you can win that invincible Krishna. Somebody, ajito jitopi, person who cannot be won, you can win him by this effort. So again, Krishna reaffirms this statement that he cannot be won over by different means in 11th canto, chapter Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. So here he is describing about his pure devotees. He says, Narodhyati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma evacha na swadhyayas tapastyago nishtapurnam nadakshina vratani yagya chandamsi tirthani niyam yamaha yathavaruddhe satsanga sarvasanga pahohimam. He says, Narodhyanti mam. You cannot know me or cannot achieve me by yoga, nor by sankhya empirical knowledge, nor by following religious principles. Na swadhyaya. In fact, there's a movement just say by read, 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 and you'll get Krishna. Tapo tyago, neither by austerities, nor by renunciation, nor by giving charity, following great vrats or vows, or worshipping demigods, chanting secret mantras, going to holy places. But only one can know Krishna by association of his pure devotees. Then in describes different devotees who got a shelter in different ages. Gives examples of, like we quoted Hanumanji, Jamban, Kubja, and various other personalities. But what was their qualification? How they got Krishna?
Tenadhit shruti gana nopasit mahattama avratapta tapasa matsangan mamupagataha.
Tenadhit shruti gana means they were not people who are learned in Vedic literature, nor they worshipped saintly personalities, nor they did various big vows of vratas, but only had association of devotees. So again, this principle is explained by Kunti Maharani in her prayers in first canto. So one may ask that why all these things are like counterproductive for devotional service. So we should be sure that it is not that if somebody possesses these things that is bad. What is bad is it's not a state of finances or state of affairs. It is state of mind. Somebody may be very rich, but in one lecture I heard Maharaj says that somebody may be very rich, but in his consciousness he may feel that everything belongs to Krishna. And he himself feels that he is just a servant of Krishna taking care of all those opulences available to him. So in his mind is still taking shelter of Krishna. Whereas we find sometime a pauper is proud of his penny. Somebody may be very poor but very proud of what he possesses. So this pride is something which will take us away from Krishna, and we should guard against this. And Kunti Maharani says that why all these opulences are bad.
Janmeshwarya Shrutishir Bhir Edhamana Madapuman Neva Rahati Bhidhatum Twamakinchana Gocharam.
She says birth, opulence, knowledge and beauty, all these things, they give pride to the person. But Krishna, he is only approachable somebody who is materially exhausted, akinchan gocharam. So sometimes we may feel that this pride is there. And this is not good. And we may try to renounce. And sometimes if we are not able to renounce, then Krishna picks it away. So, he also says that Yasyam anugrami harishyata dhanam shane. That on whomever I have mercy, I gradually take away everything he possesses. So this verse is very important in Srila Prabhupada's life. He wanted to earn a lot of money and offer to his spiritual master for preaching purpose. But Krishna had other plans and slowly his business collapsed. So, then he would remember this verse and gain solace. So it may happen in a devotee's life also that as soon as he comes in Krishna consciousness, some adverse conditions may come or whatever opulence he may have, he may lose it. So he should take it as mercy of Krishna. An example is there in Bhagavatam which shows that how devotee, he loses all his riches but still achieves Krishna. A beautiful example is there of Narad Muni. In his previous life, he was a very great Gandharva, very rich, very beautiful, beautiful singer, had everything. But because of that opulences, he became proud. And Prabhupada says in an assembly of demigods, he was called to sing bhajan and kirtan and he started singing cinema songs. So, he was cursed and he was born as a Dasiputra, son of a maid servant. But in this condition, when he was bereft of all opulence, he got the mercy of Krishna and the association of pure devotees and became a devotee himself. So, a devotee, as soon as he comes in Krishna consciousness, if becomes brahmachari, obviously he loses everything. But even those who are in grihastha ashram, they also have to lose many things. Sometimes there are people opposing them in their own family, in their own offices or workplaces. Sometimes there are financial problems. So many things. Everyone, regardless of ashram, he has to give up something. So one should remember that even if somebody gives something, Prabhupada says, will achieve something higher. Even Kunti Maharani says in the next verse, Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta gun vrittaya atma ramaya shantaya kevalya pataye namaham. Very interesting verse is there. Krishna is described as Namo akinchan vittaya. He's saying ki he's the wealth of the poor. Garibon ka ek sahara ya garibon ka dhan. So if somebody loses everything, he gains Krishna. Prabhupada says in this verse that we renounce something to gain something higher. Like a child may renounce his playful proclivities to gain good marks in studies, or a servant may give up a present job for a higher salary. Or the example is given of six Goswamis, Rup Sanatan, they were like kings, Raghunath Das Goswami, but they gave it up to achieve Krishna. And also a story of come of Sanatan Goswami, where a man came to ask him for a touchstone, which can touch anything and convert into gold. And Sanatan Goswami gave him that. But later on, that touchstone was kept in a heap of garbage. And that man thought that Sanatan Goswami must be having something greater. So then Sanatan Goswami told him, yes, I have something greater, but first you give it up, this touchstone. And then he gave him the real wealth, the real jewel of Krishna Prem. So we should know that although certain renunciation may come upon in our life also, but in the end, what we get is akinchan vittaya, the wealth of the impoverished, that is Krishna. In one lecture I was hearing, it was described that before taking sannyas, a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what do I need to know? So it's a very important question. What do I need to know at this stage? So Prabhupada said, you need to know that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why it is important to know that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead is because Maharaj later explained that whatever we offer to Krishna in terms of our energy, in terms of our efforts, money, youth, whatever, it is not wasted. Because Krishna is God, even if we offer and we may not get anything in return, in perfection, we ultimately get Krishna by this effort. And once we get Krishna, He is the supreme wealth. And we should remember that. We should learn from the examples of our past acharyas. We should learn from Narad Muni, various other devotees who have given up everything to Krishna and still gained Him. So in the end, I'll just recite prayers which are found in 5th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of Hanumanji. So he says, one cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramchandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Ramchandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramchandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for He accepts even a small service offered by His devotee. Thus He is satisfied, and as soon as He is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramchandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead in Vaikuntha. So I end here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned that Krishna can only be obtained when we are materially exhausted. So what does that material exhaustion mean?
That material exhaustion doesn't mean, as I said, exhaustion of our finances or other things. That means our mentality. That we should feel we are impoverished. Whatever we have is by mercy of Krishna. Krishna says any opulence anybody has is by my splendor. So when we feel such material hopelessness, it will cultivate a mood of humility. A mood of, there won't be any pride. And when we approach Krishna thinking that we are lower than the lowest, then Krishna will give easily his mercy. That is the point. Okay. Yes.
Prabhupada was asked also about this taking sannyas, and Prabhupada told the devotees who he'd given sannyas to. He said, now if you go to some householder's house and you see he has a nice wife and family and opulence and so forth, if you start to hanker for this, this is not good. So we should understand that those things are gifts, but gifts always bear responsibility. Nothing is free. So those persons that have those so-called opulences, they have a very heavy responsibility to make sure they're used in Krishna's service. Whereas a sannyasi, his responsibility is just to preach to everyone, encourage them.
Okay. Thank you.
Very nice class. Thank you very much.
Yes.
आपने महाप्रभु के बारे में बताया ना कि मद्रास में जाके उन्होंने ऐसी भगवत गीता वाल्मीकि भी मरा भरा कह के रामायण लिख दी उन्होंने.
हाँ जी, हाँ जी, बिल्कुल ठीक. थैंक यू. जय ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय.